We're going to go right into our lesson, and we are on starting on session 11, so let's start in prayer. Lord, thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. We thank you for your many, many blessings, Lord God. Father, I thank you because you're growing us up, Lord God. Father, we refuse to say children on milk, Lord God. We want to grow up in you. So we thank you for your word, Lord God. Your word is truth and your word is life to us, Lord. So I pray we would take it in, we would digest it and make it a part of who we are in you. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we are continuing in session 11, the locks of prayer, the locks of prayer, and our key verse for this session is, surely God will not listen to an empty cry, and that's from Job 35 and 13. And, you know, this lesson is one of these hard lessons where we as believers have got to learn, you know, some things about our faith. You know, when we come to know the Lord, we are just infants. And we talked about that last week, that we are just infants and we have to grow up in Christ. We were born and raised in sin and we have to learn his whole new way. Remember the scripture says old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So we have to be reeducated when we come into Christianity. And this part on prayer is really important, on the things that can lock our prayers. You know, and these are all biblically based issues on things that can lock our prayers. So last week we did get started. We talked about how your Christian life should be dynamic, meaning it's moving. Anything dynamic is moving. You know, you don't want a stagnant Christian life. That is just that's terrible. It's almost a death sentence when your Christian life is like stagnant. Things grow in things that are stagnant and not moving. As you compare a swamp to a river, that's the way you want to compare your Christian life. You don't want it to be a swamp with all kind of things growing in it. You can smell the stench even as you approach it. And as opposed to a river that's ever moving and it's clear and it's active. That's what you want your Christian life to be, growing and active. So as we talked about that we wanted our lives, our Christian life to be active, we have to look at the contrast between the holiness of God and the sin that we were born out of. Okay, see, that's the gap. You know, we're in the family of God, but we've got some growing to do to be like the holy God, that we are now part of his family. So this is what this is all about. We talked about the fact that the reason why you need to learn to unlock prayer in your life is because Satan does not play fair. He does not play fair. He does not care what's going on in your life. He does not care how hard times have been for you. He does not care that your children are young and naive. He doesn't care that you've been through enough already. He doesn't care. In fact, he will take every opportunity that is presented to him to take you out. That's why you have to be in prayer and in constant communion with the Lord. He has been called a thief. He's called a murderer. In fact, Jesus said he was a liar and the father of lies. That's how we fell in the first place, because he lied to us. You know, and we accepted the lie of the enemy over the truth of what God had done. And that's why we're in this broken creation we are in now. You know, all of creation, the Bible says, was subjected because of what had happened. You know, we were in a beautiful, wonderful creation, but it was subjected to the sin that we brought into the earth. And even the book of Romans talks about how all of creation waits. You know, that verse really just moves me when I think about all creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God, it says, for that great day when all creation will be released from its bondage to decay, it said. Oh, my goodness. I'm just like, God, you just let everything come down because to where we were. It was like the Father, you know, we came down, so he bent down. He brought the earth down for us. So we live in this broken creation now. So as we talk about these things, we understand why we have to know prayer. And once you come into the family of God, that's one of your main things that you need to know, is how to pray. So as we talked about the introduction last Sunday. Yeah, as we talked about the introduction last week, now we're going to get into just the actual 10 locks that they talk about in this chapter. And I want to tell you that this list is not exhaustive, meaning there may be other things that you may find in the scripture. These are some of the major things that when the Kendrick brothers are writing this book, that they found were 10 key locks, 10 major, I should say, locks of prayer. So on your page, where it says the 10 locks of prayer as categorized in battle plan for prayer based on biblical principles, these are principles that bog down our prayers and restrict its freedom and effectiveness. What page is that for you?
Page what?
Page 3. It's on page 3. So these are the principles that bog down our prayers and restrict its freedom and effectiveness. And again, these are biblically based. So number one, praying without knowing God through Jesus. Okay, that seems rather obvious, but I think we need to sit here for a minute and really talk about having relationship with Jesus Christ. And our lesson says God loves the entire world, both believers and unbelievers. He gives his sunlight and rain to the just and the unjust. And that's found in Matthew 5:45. God hears and can answer any prayer request he chooses from anyone who asks. But when it comes to knowing God as Father and walking with him in answered prayer, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And that's John 14:6. So there's something different about when you have relationship with Christ. The first segment under there says, those who have not received the Son of God for the forgiveness of their sins cannot expect God to feel obligated to respond to their prayers. Now, I know God answers a lot of prayers from people that may not know him or haven't known him only because of his mercy and his grace and because he has a plan, but he is not obligated to answer. They're not the children of God. You know, God loves everybody, but everybody is not the children of God. You know, there's a difference there that we have to understand. So we can't pretend when it comes to God. We have to either we have received his son or we haven't. You know, if you think God is just going to bypass the blood of his son and do whatever you ask him to do, you know, you're sadly mistaken, and it can lock your prayer life if you don't have a relationship with Christ. You know, this was at great cost to the Father. No, I'm skipping ahead. I'm sorry. God, Jesus is the darling of heaven who suffered and died for the sins of humanity. This was at great cost to the Father. It is a mistake for anyone to presume they can bypass the blood of his son and then feel that God is obligated to answer their prayers. You know, this is scripture. You know, this is what Jesus said. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know, he's got the Father's watching everything. And this was a cost to the Father for his son to bleed and die and to go through all of the torture he went through so that we could become a part of the family. And to think that we can just bypass Jesus. See, that, you know, we don't, you know, a lot of times people don't want to say Jesus. They don't want to talk about Jesus. I said, but you can't bypass him. I'm telling you, you can't. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm grateful that God is so merciful that he will intervene in the affairs of mankind, even when we don't deserve it. I believe if God didn't intervene in a lot of our affairs, we wouldn't even be here. The planet would already be empty because we would have killed ourselves off. In addition, God will respond to the prayers of believers who pray for unbelievers. That's another thing that God will respond to. As a believer, when you pray for unbelievers, I believe God responds to those prayers because you are a believer and you're praying. Many mothers praying for their children and fathers praying for their children and praying for family members and coworkers. It makes a difference. I have had numerous occasions where people say, you know what? You told me you were praying and guess what? This happened. You know, because God heard the prayer of a believer praying for someone that was an unbeliever. And God will respond to you in your prayers and as you pray for people. There is a blessing on a household when just one believer lives there. Do you understand there? There's a blessing on a household when just one believer is in that house. There is a blessing on that household. You know, the scripture says, and this is in 1 Corinthians 7:14. You can write that scripture down. It's not in your lesson. 1 Corinthians 7:14 says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified. That is, he receives the blessings granted through his Christian wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be ceremonially unclean. But as it is, they are holy. This is what the scripture says concerning a believer being in the household. You know, the believer just can praise, and a believer brings an atmosphere into the house. I don't know, they might give you a hard time and all of that, but thank God you're there. You know, I was telling my daughter the other day, I said, I was watching the news and hearing some of the news. I said, whatever you might think, you better thank God your mama knows Jesus. Okay? Thank God your mama knows Jesus. Okay? Because I'm listening to some of these other mamas out here and what they're doing. Oh, girl, you better be grateful that your mama knows Jesus. Because mothers, I mean, mothers used to be safe people, honey. They're not safe anymore in this day and age, because the enemy is just creeping into everything. He creeps into everything. He'll creep into motherhood. He'll creep into fatherhood. You have to have that relationship. You have to know Jesus. You know, if things are going to be blessed around your life, if God is going to hear the prayers. But that's why, you know, the Bible compares us to pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for them, because God is going to hear you concerning them. If they're praying, and they could be praying all kind of stuff except for repentance, you know, they're praying all kind of stuff. So you pray for them that they will come to know the Lord. The next point on their lesson says, the just and the unjust are sustained every day due to the mercy and the love of God. Isn't it true? Mm-hmm. But beyond that, without relationship through Christ, many prayers are bogged down because the spiritual connection is absent. The word says he reigns on the just and the unjust. He keeps everybody on this planet. The whole planet is enveloped with an atmosphere that keeps us alive. God does it for everybody. He can pick out the unbelievers, but he doesn't. He doesn't. He reigns on the just and the unjust because that is his mercy, and that is his love, and that is his grace. We should not take that for granted. You know, and because the book of Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, another scripture to write down concerning this issue. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short. It is Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so impaired that he cannot hear. But your wickedness has separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear. Okay, that's what the word of God says. He doesn't hear, you know, when your wickedness and you don't believe him. You know, your sins have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear. You know, so again, we've got to understand that relationship. You're praying without knowing Jesus, there's going to be a difference from a believer and an unbeliever. And I think unbelievers know that, because that's why they come to the believer. Will you pray? They'll be showing up when something, could you pray? Could you pray for this? Thank you. Could you pray? I mean, you're like, you know, you haven't spoke to me in a month, and something's going on. Can you pray? Because they know that something within them, I believe it's something within them tells them that you know how to reach heaven. You know, and I want to mention, we're so glad to have Tressa back with us. Yes. Oh, she's back with us, so we're so happy. So she's back in town. I forgot to mention her. So again, your prayers are important, you know, that we pray. And it's important, you know, the people that will come to you, they pinpointed you and they know that you can pray and that you can reach heaven. And they'll be coming to you to pray for them and pray with them. So number one, praying without knowing God through Jesus. Number two, praying from an unrepentant heart. Now this, it might seem like the same thing, but there's two different things. Because see, you can be a Christian and be unrepentant. Okay, you can be a Christian and unrepentant. You're holding on to something for whatever reasons you might have. So let's dig into this a little bit. The lesson says, the Bible says God knows what we are made of, remembering that we are dust. And you find this in Psalm 103, 14. God is not surprised by our struggle to remain steadfast or faithful to him and his word. He knows. He knows life is hard. He knows we struggle. He knows people hurt us and hurt our feelings and do all kind of things to us. He knows all of this. But still, He stands. I'm getting ahead on the lesson. Let me go to the first point. It says, God knows that we have been affected and broken by sin and that we live in a broken creation. Psalm 51:17 talks about that in Romans 8:19 through 23. But even within our situation, God knows that the blood of his son has been put in place so that we can overcome our brokenness, our sin through repentance. We can overcome. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no excuse Amen. That's going to stand on that day. You know, and according to the book of Revelation, believers and unbelievers are going to be judged. You know, you're going to stand there and give an account for what you did on this earth as well. You know, and I'm telling you, holding anything, grudges, nothing between my soul and my Savior. That should be your motto. You know, and if you got stuff to deal with, honey, time to bring it to Jesus, you know, and leave it at his feet. You know, so, and I was playing that song by Fran Hammond. It's from Psalm 51:17. And David said this, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart you will not despise." And this is the prayer, part of the prayer that David prayed after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And he was confronted by the prophet. And he prayed this prayer. And he went before God. And he confessed what he had done. And he said, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit." And he says, "A broken and a contrite heart you will not despise." Now, David was a man of God, but this is where the situation he found himself in. And he came to God and he broke himself before God and he bared his soul and his heart before God. And he knew God would not despise him, you know, that he would respond to his brokenness and God would respond to your brokenness. But first, you've got to come. The next point on the lesson says the issue with our prayers is when we refuse to repent of sin. As with all sin, it is a pride issue with us. There we are again. You know, we always come back to that one. You know, it is a pride issue. That's why you won't repent. That's why you won't give in. Well, I have a right, and I've got this, and I've got that. And did you see what they did to me? Did you see how they talked to me in front of everybody, embarrassed me, and did all of that? Folks, I'm telling you, you have got to be crucified with Christ. Oh, that's what the scripture says. You know, that's what the apostle said. I am crucified with Christ. You know, that means you're going to take a lot of stuff and you're going to take it with humility for the sake of Christ. You know, that's what we have to be about. You know, and I'm telling you, a person that has that type of humility, God's going to hear their prayers. When you're ready not to sin, but if you do sin, oh man, you're bringing it right to the cross. You know, you're ready to apologize. You're ready to get it right with people. You know, so we have to really focus on this. Do you have unrepentant stuff in your heart? Is your pride keeping you from dealing with it? The trouble comes in when our hearts aren't broken at all, when we were cold and indifferent to the world, his word, and our transgressions of it. That's from the battle plan of prayer. My goodness. Because we can be cold. I mean, I've run into some Christians that have done so. And they don't even just. I'm like, so. I mean, you're like, so you don't even feel any kind of conviction about what you just did. And what you just said. No. You know, and I'm saying, well, either they need to grow. Or we're going to get later on. Do you really have a relationship? We're going to get on that a little bit. You know, because some people are just going through the motions because Christianity looks kind of good sometimes, you know, to people. And so they're going through the motions, but the relationship is not there. The Holy Spirit is not operating. And again, on this issue, we must refer to Isaiah 59:1-2. The Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, but your sins have separated you. You know, you praying and praying and praying and praying. I'm telling you, God will deal with your business first. I have found that over and over again. He deals with me first. Let's talk about you before you start asking me for what you want and what you want me to do. Let's deal with you and what's going on in your heart right now toward, and you fill in that blank. You know, because sometimes we want to push it to the back and we want to get up and pray and keep going through the emotions. You're still teaching your class and doing all your stuff and all that in front of people. And you got stuff going on in your heart that you need to deal with. And God will always deal with that first. The next point of your lesson says, the word of God says, if I regard sin and baseness in my heart, That is, if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me. There it is again. That's Psalm 66, 18. The Lord will not hear me. When we cling to sin and stiff arm God, and then he will stiff arm our prayers until we are willing to repent. That's from the book, page 69. You don't want to be stiff-armed by God, folks. I'm telling you. Do you understand? He's giving you the very breath you breathe right now. Do you understand that? He is sustaining you by him all things consist and hold together. I have realized he is holding my very body together. He is holding, and you're going to stiff-arm him? You think you're going to... You don't have any leverage with God. Let me tell you something. People think they got leverage with God. They don't have any leverage with God.
No.
You know, I'm telling you folks, we better find out our situation. See, many people don't understand the human condition. You need to understand your status in the light of everything, you know. And we can't stiff out arm God. Your lesson says God can hold out much longer than you can. He is eternal, and your time on earth is temporal. See, that's the situation. That's the situation you find yourself in. I mean, I have seen people just sit and pout and be mad for years and decades. And I'm like, and their life is just spiraling down, down. You know, won't let it go. Won't let it go. And I'm telling you, God is waiting. He's waiting, and he can wait longer than you can. Your lesson says some people have grown old and bitter as they hold to their sins in pride rather than confess and repent before God and man. Oh, sometimes you got to repent before man too. And that's the issue with us, our pride. We'll confess before God. For the most part, we'll confess before God, but honey, don't make me have to go to Sally and confess to her too. Oh, see, that's where our pride gets in the way. She's no better than I am. I'm just as good as she is. Oh, but see, the Bible demands it. God demands it. That you have to confess and repent before God and man. It is not worth it to lock off your prayers for any reason. It's not worth it, folks. Trust me, it is not worth it. Wasting so much time where you could have been active and doing and growing, and you've wasted time being angry and unrepented and, you know, justifying your sin. Deal with it. Jesus taught in Matthew 6:15, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." Oh, my goodness. I don't know about you, but I need God's forgiveness every day. The more I live, the more I realize how far away I am from him. I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to grow. And the more I grow, I realize how far I am, you know. But it's just not worth it to keep that breach between you and God. How can you talk to God in prayer with sin between you? How can you talk to him? No sin is justified before God, folks. They won't be justified. And how can you talk to him and ask and request when there's sin between you and God? You know it. It convicts you, but you try to ignore it, and you're going to pray anyways. Folks, you're wasting your time. God wants to deal with your sin because he loves you. He doesn't want you carrying that. David prayed in Psalm 139, write this down, Psalm 139, 23 through 24. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." See, I love that. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect. He messed up. He messed up big time. But then this was his prayer. "Try me. Test me. Look at my heart, Lord. Don't look. I know I show a lot of stuff on the outside. But have you ever prayed, Lord, look at what's going on in my heart. Test me. Show me my heart. Know my thoughts. What am I? Lord, look at what I'm thinking about. And if you see any wicked way in me, you know, he didn't even sugarcoat it. If you see any adverse thoughts, if you know, what are euphemisms for bad things? If you see any untoward things, no. David said, if you see any wicked stuff in me, he was calling it out. Lead me in the way everlasting. See, we need to start praying that prayer. If we really want God to do something, if we really want that unrepentant stuff, those grudges you've been holding on for years, that unforgiveness, I'm telling you, folks, you need to get it before God. Lay it out. You know, again, crucified with Christ. Lord, I don't matter anymore. My pride doesn't matter. What people think of me doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is that there's nothing between you and me, and I can come to you and I can talk, Lord, and we can converse together. And we can get through to a level of prayer that is effective. Number three, praying for show. Uh-oh. We're going to get on a lot of folks today. Praying for show.
Listen to her.
People who pray merely to impress others had better enjoy those people's amens and compliments while they last. I didn't say this. The Kendra Brothers are saying this. But because according to Jesus, that's the full extent of the reward. Wow. Page 69 of our book. I'm telling you, if you're praying for show, you might as well enjoy what's being said right then and there, because that's all you're going to get. Matthew 6, 5 through 8 records the teachings of Jesus on this matter. He said, this is Jesus now, also when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray publicly, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, so that they may be seen by men. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, they already have their reward in full. This is the Amplified. But when you pray, go into your most private room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Mm-hmm. So do not be like them, praying as they do, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Oh boy, we're gonna park here for a minute and unpack this one, because this is really good to know. You know, it's so important. You know, you can't be praying for show. I remember when I was just a teenager, I remember going to the mall, and I remember this lady, I think she was running a revival in our little city of Niagara Falls, and I remember seeing her at the mall, and she was dressed all in white, and she had this giant King James Bible, and she was just walking through the mall, like condemning her. I don't know what she was doing. But I was like, oh my goodness. And it was so showy. It was so showy. You know, I was like, that's not, even if you're doing a prayer walk, that's not how you do it. You know, you do it in a way in which nobody knows. You know, and watch God move. I love when God moves when I haven't said a thing to anybody. I've just been praying and haven't said a word. You know, and then you can't even say, I prayed for you. You know, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Watch God work. You know, but you want to be a person that prays in secret. Oh, God will reward you openly. God will reward you. You don't have to tell everybody that you prayed and who you prayed for and all of that. But just let the Lord do the work. It is so beautiful when you're in God's secret service. That's what some people call it, God's secret service. Nobody even knows. You're there just praying over the building, praying over the situation, praying over the organization, praying over the neighborhood, and nobody knows. You know, you're just doing it in secret. You know, that's such a beautiful way to have an intimate relationship with God. So you prayers where your heart is not in it, but it's for show, even to condemn someone Sometimes you've heard people pray, and they're praying to condemn another person while they're praying. Lord, I just pray for Lucy that she would just, you know, understand that she shouldn't be, you know, doing the things that she does, Lord. You know, I saw her last week, and she was coming out of the bar. And, Lord, I just pray for her, you know. I've heard people just praying and telling details about people's business while they're praying as a way to gossip, basically. Mm-hmm. What they're trying to do is trying to gossip in prayer, of all places. I'm going to try and gossip about a person, and I'm justifying it as I pray, praying loudly that someone would repent. Lord, we just pray, especially we do this at home a lot. Lord, we just pray for this child that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Because, Lord, you saw what they did today, Lord God. And you know mama's been praying for them, but they won't listen, Jesus. You know. Oh, I tell you, it's funny when you listen to sometimes people pray when you're like, oh, my God. You know, and the person is sitting right there and you're just talking about them. You know, I was watching something this week and I saw there was somebody doing that at the dinner table, you know, praying for their daddy. Just pray daddy will come to church with us and he just, you know, that he would give his life to, you know. So again, or praying to bring to come off as a spiritual person too, as being so spiritual, you know. And you're always praying. Everything is prayed. You know, and you can pray, you know, but understand the world that you live in. You know, you can shun people off because everything out of your mouth is prayer. Pray, pray, because you want people to know, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And there's a place for that. I'm not saying there isn't a place, but be wise in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes I just take off and say, girl, what do you need? Sometimes you just can show them just love. You're praying for them all along, but all they need at that point is for you to show them some love. Show them some concern, to hug them. That's all they need right at that moment in time. And, you know, you're praying for them, but be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know, because sometimes people say that just to come off as spiritual, you know, and sometimes you're shunning people away. Again, being sensitive to the Holy Ghost when it comes to prayer and when you pray and how you pray. The next point of your lesson says, Jesus is making it clear that God will not respond or reward prayers done for show. God always looks directly into the heart of the one who is praying. He sees sincerity. He sees show. And he sees show. People showing off when they pray is not new. It's not something new. This behavior has been recorded in the Old and New Testament. People praying for show. It is an issue that mankind has long struggled with. And again, it comes back to our pride. Again, prideful. I want everybody to see how I'm praying. Jesus confronted the Pharisees and the poor man that came in, the tax collector and the Pharisee. You know, one is coming in showing, and I'm not like this person, Lord, that came in. I'm so glad I'm not like them. You know, and all of this stuff. You know, instead of, you know, praying with an open heart to the Lord. The prophet Isaiah wrote of the Lord, therefore the Lord said, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Wow. Their worship of me is but rules taught by men. Isaiah 29:13. They worship me with my mouth. See, the Bible is written for Christians, folks. The Bible is written for believers. He is talking about people that have come to God. These are church people, if you will. You know, synagogue people back at that time. And God knew. They come to me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I see how they act at home. I see how they treat people. You know, but yet they come and they try to honor me. You know, and they're, you know, and he says, they follow these regulations and these rules. There's nothing wrong with tradition. There's nothing wrong with rituals. But if that's all you have going on, no relationship, you're just going through the motions, come to church on Sunday morning, sit down, do my praise and worship, you know, and no relation, no connection, no movement of the Spirit in you, you know. The Spirit doesn't move you. You know, you're just going through and you're satisfied with that. Jesus suffered and died so that you and I can have relationship, not formalities. When you have relationship, your prayer life automatically comes alive. It's not a chore to pray when you have relationship. Yeah, wait, you're talking to Jesus all day long, thanking him for so many things. I look back and I said, Lord, so many things I took for granted. So many things I took for granted, and now I find myself thanking you. Lord, I thank you that the sun came up today. That did not have to happen. You know, if you watch enough of the sci-fi channel, you know, okay, the planet can go flipping off into space as it did. You know, I saw the sci-fi, you're like, oh my God, the earth. Oh my God, the meteor is coming. Oh my God, how are we going to see? I'm like, Lord, all these millions of years, this whole planet is still here. And a meteor hasn't hit it. That extinction level event hasn't happened, Lord. Oh, boy. I think Jesus is deflecting all kind of stuff from this planet. You know, they have this whole setup at NASA that is these... where they monitor the sky and they monitor space and see if things came close. And boy, if you just Google some of the near misses that came, things that came close to the earth but didn't hit it. You know, it came this close and, oh, it just went on by us. It's amazing. You know, and these are, you know, this is not science fiction. This is true stuff. You know, where things have been missed and, boy, you find a way to just thank God. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that you keep us, that you bless us. And as you grow, your prayer life does come alive. You're praying all day. I understand now, praying without ceasing. You're always got a constant dialogue, you and God. And he's dropping stuff into your spirit, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. You know, I started thanking him for parking spaces. You know, I'm like, you know, yeah, I'm like, Lord, thank you, because you knew I was tired today, and I didn't want to walk all the way. But he gave me a parking space near the front, and thank God for nice people, people that help you out. You know, you're tired, and, you know, someone just comes along, and they just helps you out of the blue and does this or does that for you, and I said, Lord, I thank you. I don't know if that was an angel you sent to help me do that, but Lord, I just thank you because I needed help at that moment, and they helped me. So your prayer life comes alive. You have this constant dialogue, and the more you thank God, the more grateful you are, the more your prayer life will explode and come alive. Now, we were talking about prayer for show, so I don't know how I got off on that. So let me reel myself back in here. Okay. Somebody needed to hear. Thank you, Dee. And I got your stuff too, Dee, your temperament test.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's just like yesterday when I got to work. Now, Lord, I need a parking place. And your car drives out. Yeah. I drive right in.
Yes. and you know, and that's not coincidence.
No.
There's been too many times where he just came through right in time. Yeah. You know, I told y'all guys about my KitchenAid mixer. I always wanted one of those. And, you know, and I said, oh, Lord, I just cannot spend that much money on a mixer. My God. You know, and boy, you know, I decide, okay, Lord, I said, okay, I'm going to do this. So I took the mixer up there, and sure enough, it was the day in which Sam's Club was giving a credit back. Oh my! I kid you not. I didn't know this. I said, Lord, because I knew they do this occasionally. I said, Lord, maybe this is the day. I'm gonna go ahead and do it, Lord. And you know, if I mess up, I mess up. I'm gonna do it. Okay. And how we go back? Okay. And got up there, and sure enough.
Yep.
Sure enough, it was the day they were giving the credit. I said, see, there was a lady that used to sing this song back home. She said, you can't turn me around because I know too much. You know, and I love that line. See, that's why you can't turn me around, because I know too much. Too much about his goodness. Too much about his love. You can't turn me around. I know too much. It was a cute song. She used to sing it all the time. So, folks, you can't turn me around. I've just seen him, you know, just engaging with him. You know, all through the day, and how he walks with you and he talks with you. Oh my God. And he tells you, you are his own. I have got you. You are never alone. I am right here with you, guiding you and keeping you, you know. And thank God when you're behind that slow car, I'm keeping you from something up ahead, you know. You know, thank God when you, boy, I've had a lot of near misses, and I say, thank you, Jesus. I'm like,
yeah.
He keeps us. He keeps us. Doesn't he keep us? Okay, back to praying for show. So the next point of your lesson says, in contrast to this mindset, note the prayer of David as he asked God to check his heart for any wickedness. We just read that. David knew to have true communion and companionship with God, he must seek honesty and openness about his heart as he talked to God. David asks again, search me, O God, and know my heart. And that's Psalm 139:23 again. Jesus teaches that God already knows what you have need of before you ask. Therefore, those needs are what he is looking for you to ask of him in prayer. Okay, see, God knows what you have need of. You know, you often may not know what you have need of. You know what you want, but God knows what you need. You know, and that's what he's looking for. That's why, you know, the scripture says we don't know how to pray as we ought. I'm beginning to understand that. Because sometimes we're praying all for all of these things, and God says, but you need this. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not there to pray for this yet. But God knows you have need of them before you ask. David asked for a heart check. Do you? Have you ever asked God for a heart check? God knows when you need more humility, but the show-off will not pray this. The show-off will not pray for more humility. You know, but God knows you need this. You need to be asking me for humility. The show-off is deaf to the Holy Spirit when he or she prays. That's a hard word, but it's true. They're deaf to the Holy Spirit because they're so focused on what they want to say and how they want to come off to people around them. So they're not hearing what the Holy Spirit would have them to pray. God knows what you need to be praying, but you won't pray it because you're too busy showing off for everybody and wanting everybody to hear how eloquently you pray. Oh, how sad is that? And it's like God doesn't hear, and you might as well get your kudos right there then and there, because that's all you're getting, because God is not hearing and responding to such prayers. But when you start praying from the heart, and you start praying in light of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is saying, then God, he bows down and he listens. So your lesson says, therefore, all he or she will get will be the praises of people, but no response from God. Amen. How sad is that? The next point of your lesson says, have you ever asked God, am I doing this for show? You know, and sometimes you assume that you're okay and you're good and you're good little Susie Christian, you know, and you would never do that, and you would never, you know. But I'm telling you, you need to ask, just like David, ask God to check your heart. God, what's really going on in my heart? I know I'm feeling pretty good about myself today, you know, but what is really going on in my heart? Oh, God will show you some things. You got an issue with this. Let's talk about that. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. You know, and again, he's talking to believers. Come, let's talk this out. You know, we got to get over the fact that just because we stepped into Christendom that we walk in this era of perfection, that God doesn't need to check our heart anymore because Jesus lives there now, so our hearts don't need it. No, you need to come and you need to have the Lord check your heart. You know this, if this is the case, if you are not acknowledged or complimented for praying for someone or something, you know there's something going on in your heart when you're ignored. When you were praying for somebody and you were fasting for somebody and you loved on somebody and did all this stuff, and then there's a breakthrough and they don't even mention your name. They don't even acknowledge you. How do you feel? What's going on? What's going on? You know, well, I prayed for you, and you want them to know I prayed for you. Why are you telling them that except for pride reason? Why do you have to tell them that? They're on the other side now. They've got a breakthrough, you know? But we do it because we're still growing and we're still struggling. We've all done it. You know, we've all done it. You know, it's just a matter of, why did you do that? You know, check my heart, Lord. Why did I do that? You ever did that? You ever said something slipped out? And you,
yes.
Lord, why did I say that?
Yeah.
And why did I do that? Yeah. Oh, you need a heart check. Lord, why? And the Lord will show you why you do some of the things that you do. Check my heart. I wasn't acknowledged, Lord, and I felt kind of funny. In fact, I felt kind of resentful because they didn't call my name after all the work I did. Check your heart before the Lord. I'm telling you, are you doing things, not just prayer for show, but anything for show? Abraham was described as a friend of God. Oh, wow. James 2:23 says that. And so it happened. As the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. He had conversations with God. His conversations with God were real and sincere, and you know they were real because he packed up and left everything and just went. You know, he didn't even know where he was going. God just told him to pack up and leave. It takes trust and intimacy with God to do something like that, because he had a lot of people going with him. It's one thing if you're going by yourself, but he's got a whole group of people that he's responsible for, his children, his wife, his children, all these people included. And he's going up to a place that God was going to show him. Do you have those type of conversations with God? Private, personal, you know, in secret. You know, the next point on your lesson talks about secrets. Abraham did not pray for show, but for companionship, wisdom, and guidance. We know Abraham had a friendship with God because he had secrets with God. He carried out his obedience in secret. Note the story in the request to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, boy, that one still gets me to this day when I read that one. He had to be keeping that, had to have kept that a secret. Especially kept it from Sarah.
Yeah.
I know he kept that secret from Sarah, because had Sarah known that God said to go and sacrifice this son that they waited so long for, son period. But boy, you know, and he told her, we're going to be, me and the boy are going to go up to the mountain and we're going to make a sacrifice to God and we'll be back.
Yeah. Like, okay, you could go, but you know, he stays with me.
I know. He did not tell her any more detail than that.
She realized
it. I know. She realized. I saw that in the movie where she realized it and she was coming up the mountain, yeah. All tired and exhausted. But he had a secret with God. He trusted God in that depth. Like, so I'm contrasting Abraham with the show-off. The show-off won't have that kind of relationship with God. Show-offs won't have a secret with God because they're going to blab it out. They can't keep it. They're going to blab it because they want everybody to know, God said to me that I should, you know. But the person that keeps the secret with God, oh, they'll just walk it through, not tell a soul what they're doing. They'll just walk it out, walk it through. They may go and do something. I thought, boy, I know there are people out there like that. I found, you know, we were really struggling. I found money in my mailbox. I don't know where it, I mean, cash in my mailbox. Till this day, I don't know where it came from. Mm-hmm. Found gift cards in my mailbox. To this day, I don't know where it came from. Nobody ever came forward and said anything. You know, because they kept just someone that was moved by the Holy Spirit to do that and did not want any type of acknowledgement at all. You know, I mean, it's just having that secret. So Abraham had that secret with God. He trusted God. It was not just a secret, but it was a trust thing. And he took Isaac all the way up to that mountain and made that altar. And as you know the story, he laid him on the altar, bound him and laid him on the altar, and was just about to strike him before God said, Abraham. Oh, I'm telling you, all the way. And then God says, now I know that nothing would you withhold from me. Boy, do you have those type of secrets with God? God, you want me to give it away. You want me to do this. You want me to do that. You know, and God, sometimes God will whisper it, and don't tell anybody. Oh, boy, well, there's half my fun already, is that I can't tell anybody. I can't show off. I can't say, I did that. You see what I gave them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gave them that.
Mm-hmm.
They were down and out. They had some problems, you know, so I just gave them that.
God will tell you. Do it in secret. Preserve the dignity. I think we talked about a few weeks ago about the woman, or maybe we're going to talk about the widow's mite. Did we talk about the widow's mite? We talked about that, how Jesus preserved her dignity. You know, the Bible says he took the disciples aside. He didn't make an announcement. I mean, I love that. I think we're coming up on that lesson. Sometimes I'm writing the lesson during the week, and I don't know if we talked about it or whether we talked about it in here. But there's something about God. God takes care of everybody, but the show-off is going to do just the opposite. The show-off will hurt people in the name of God, expose people in the name of God. That, oh, how that hurts God's heart that we would do such things. So when a lock to prayer is that you're showing off. But Abraham had this secret, and he didn't tell anybody. He just took Isaac up to the mountain, and he was ready to sacrifice him. Your lesson says Abraham went to carry out this out and told no one. He trusted that God alone would be there as his guide through this whole ordeal. No one else would have understood this request. And isn't that true sometimes? God will ask you to do things that nobody else is going to understand. They said, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you gave that. I can't believe, and you can fill in the blank, that you're giving up all of this to do that. Because the requests we make from God, many times people will never understand it. It was a private matter between him and God. The show-off would never know such intimacy with the Almighty. You want to know intimacy, I'm telling you. You got a humility. Do you have secrets with God? Or is your relationship with him showy and superficial? And you have to answer that question. Do you have secrets with God? Things that only you and him have talked about. And you and him know. Things you have done in secret that nobody else knows about. But you did it according to his will and his way. What he asked you to do. You know, and you did it just because God asked you to do it. And you didn't tell anybody. You didn't get anything back from it. No benefit at all. That creates intimacy with the Almighty. You know, and as the scripture says, what you did in secret, God will reward you openly. It may not be an award for doing that particular thing, but God will reward you with things and bless you with things. You know, and it's just because this is my child. I'm well pleased with her. I'm well pleased with him. I'm going to bless them with this. Like, why is this one so blessed? And well, perhaps they have secrets with God that you don't know about because they're not blabbing it everywhere. They're just having this intimate relationship with God. Your pride is something that must be dealt with constantly, even in prayer. Is that something, as we talk about showy prayers, pride, the spirit of pride comes in even in your prayer. Even in the prayer time. So that's another lock of prayers when you're praying to be showy. You know, the scripture says that's it. Those prayers hit the ceiling and that's it. You know, so again, be careful even as you pray. Now, I know we always pray in groups and we pray openly, you know, but I'm just talking about a sincere prayer, you know, and when you're praying for an ulterior motive, you know, and you know, you're praying so you can expose somebody. You're praying so that you can hurt somebody. You're praying for what other reasons, but it's a different reason than to pray for them and lift them up before God. So again, it's just something that we have to think about. Lord, check my heart. Check my heart, Lord. And if you see any wicked way in me, oh Lord, lead me into the way everlasting. That should be our prayer. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't know how long you've been in Christendom. You need to be praying this prayer. You know, check me, Lord, and find out where my motives are on certain things. I don't know how to pray as I ought, Lord God, so I pray for your Holy Spirit to intervene as I pray, Lord. And that's why, as I said, the more I get to know God, the less I'm praying details for people, because I don't know enough. I don't know enough to be praying details. I got to the point where I say, your kingdom come, and your will be done. Lord, I lift up Terry, and I pray your kingdom come and your will be done in her life. I mean, there's certain things that you do know. You know his word says it is not his will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So I don't even hesitate to pray, Lord, save this one and save that one. Because I know that's his will. But many other things, there's so many countless situations on planet Earth that we encounter every day. You know, I just pray, Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, what the enemy means for evil, Lord, I know you can intervene and turn it to good. It's so good to pray God's word. You know, remember what the scripture says. Lord, intervene in these circumstances. Turn it around, God, according to your will. Let it give you glory, whatever it may look like. You know, and sometimes that means people will leave here and go to heaven. You know, and I said, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Lord, because behind that, who knows how many people are going to come to the Lord? We're talking about eternity now. We're not talking about temporal. You know, when your time's up is here, when my time is here, Lord, take me. I want to go. I'm telling you, if Jesus busts those clouds, go, guys, I want to go on the first trip. I tell people, you know, you guys can have my notes, but I'm going on the first trip. I can't be staying here. I know. I told y'all that for years. I'm going on the first trip. You know,
don't look for me.
I know. Don't even be looking for me. You know, you see those movies about the rapture and then the church has left behind and, you know, now they're getting all sincere. And I said, no, honey, I want to be in that group, Lord Jesus. Karen Cole is not going to be teaching a class in that group, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. You want to, you know, so again, folks, again, it's just a matter of just coming to a place of sincerity. Really sincere. That's what, you know, we're talking about. We've been on prayer for years. And we'll probably be on prayer for years more because it's such a critical thing for a Christian, a believer, to know how to pray. Amen. How to take the locks of prayer off your life. You know, I've heard people say, I've prayed and prayed and prayed. Well, let's explore the locks of prayer. You can't just name it and claim it. I know that was taught years ago. Name it. I'm telling you, that used to always disturb me. Even when I was young, I said, well, don't they have to get into the counsel of God and what God is saying about things? Mm-hmm. I can't just name it and claim it. I don't know what to name and I don't know what to claim. The world would be in chaos. As I showed that little video of Bruce Almighty, you know, I'm just going to say yes to everybody. And the world is in chaos. You know, so again, we want to hone our praying skill. Prayer should be a skill that you're learning. As an infant, you know, we use the analogy of the infant. The infant comes on the earth and the only way they know how to communicate is wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. And you just, you know, you kind of understand what they've done. Are you wet? Are you, usually you're checking. Okay, are you hungry? Okay, is it time to feed you? You know, but as you get older, you expect them to start talking. And you come to a place where you should be communicating more effectively so that you can get along in the world better. You know, if I'm sitting here at my age and still saying, wow, 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 you guys are going to take me over to the state hospital. Because you should be communicating more effectively. You know, God expects the same thing. How long have you been a believer and are you communicating with him? Do you have locks on still in your prayer life? Or are you communicating with him more effectively? Are you seeing prayers answered in your life? You know, you start keeping a journal. You know, we talked about earlier having a prayer partner, having someone that you can agree with God with, you know, and seeing things happen. Write it down. I am praying for, you know, I love that the War Room movie and how she had all those prayers on the walls and, you know, and was expecting. See, that's when you're expecting, because I'm like, I'm waiting to cross something off here because I'm expecting you to move, God. You know, I'm doing everything I know how to do, you know, and when we are infants and children of the Lord, God is merciful and gracious, and he will give you things. You know, you still had some issues in your life and some locks. I believe that when you're young, you know, you know, but as you get older, it's like, okay, we've been at this for 10 years and you still can't communicate effectively. So folks, let's take the locks off our prayers. Our families need it. Our nation needs it. Our city needs it. Needs prayer warriors.
But if we as believers have locks on our prayer life, where will they stand? Hallelujah. You make a difference. Prayer warriors make a difference. I believe this nation is still here today.
Yes.
Because people are praying.
Yes.
In the United States, for the United States.
Yes.
And we're going to keep praying for this nation. You know, I keep hearing my sister's voice. She said, God is not finished with this republic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a revival that's going to break out, I believe. And I believe it's going to break out with the millennials. You know, I feel it's going to break out with them. You know, they're movers and shakers, a lot of them. So we're going to see that change. So any comments? I've just been chatting. Any comments or questions?
There was a story about Joyce Meyer. She was getting her nails done at the time, and she had this pin on, and someone made a comment how beautiful it was.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. And her manicurist had to go and get something. So, and everybody was just praising her how beautiful it was. And this one girl said, oh, it's so pretty. I love it. You know, and she said, thank you, you know. And so did that make a long story short. When the manicurist came back, then she took her pin off and gave it to the person, you know, and they said, oh, Joyce, you shouldn't do that. That's beautiful. You shouldn't do that. She said, oh, no, I wanted to do that. You know, I wanted to do that. So when she left, God says, well, I hope you're happy because that's all the praise you're going to get.
Because she did it for show.
Yeah. I hope you're happy because that's the only thing you're going to get. So, and I remember that.
I love her honesty.
When something tells me something like that, I go, oh, no, I don't want that. I do it because the God says you do it. You
yeah.
Know? And that reminds me every time something comes up, I go, oh, no, and I back off of it.
And that's the Holy Spirit prompting to do or not to do. That's what the Holy Spirit is constantly doing with you all day.
Because I don't want.
Don't do that. Don't respond.
I want praises.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit is such a so good.
Yeah.
He knows when your blood is at a low simmer. And he's like, steady, steady.
Okay. And then she tells about her red dress or her earrings.
Yes. Yeah, so many things we can be doing, and it's showy, and we don't even think, we're feeling so good about it.
Uh-huh.
We think it's God. And, you know, and thank God for someone that's so sensitive to the Holy Ghost is saying, I hope you're happy with that, because that's all you're getting. You feel good about yourself, you know, doing that in front of everybody so everybody can see, so it's a big show. Look at me, give my...
And she just taken the pen off and gave it to him. She would have, you know, but she waited till everybody came back in.
Waited till everybody came back.
You shouldn't do that because that's your pen. Oh, no. She'll do a much better job.
Wow.
And she felt so good about it.
I'm telling you.
And then when she went outside, I thought, well, I hope you're proud of yourself because that's all you're going to get.
And that's where you...
Instead of getting the praise of me, you're
getting
the praise of man, yeah.
You will constantly, you struggle with that spirit of pride.
Because
that's where we fell. You know, when you talk about Adam, that's where they fell. You know, you can be just like God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, really? Pride, right there.
Pride.
That's where humanity fell. And that's what we struggle with all the time. I agree with Andrew Murray. He said every human sin can be traced back to it. You know, and it's so true. It's so true. Any other comments?
I think when you have a relationship with the Lord, and it's happened to us, me and my husband, you know, even the parking lot and all that stuff, we just got to give us a high pop five, you know, and say, oh, yeah, front row. Yeah, he always gives us a parking lot. And I know that when you have a relationship with him and really close to him, that he does things for you.
Yes, he
does.
Know,
and it's so amazing that he is so real in our lives.
Yes, yes.
And you just smile every time and things that... You know, we don't even know where it comes from. You know, it's like, wow, you know, thank you, Jesus, you know, but he's so real.
He is so real. I mean, just, you know, I'm just like, just, you know, walks with me, talks with me, gives me a parking space, lets me have the sale, got my KitchenAid mixture. I mean, just all these things, you know.
I mean, you laugh, but that meant so much to me because that was so personal.
And he
that
knew
was,
it.
That was so per- he knew how much, and red too. I wanted a red one. And it was
that
so,
wasn't coincidence yeah. either. That yeah. red was there yeah, that for red you. Was,
and it was, you know, and it was just so personal.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel so close to God when he does little things like that. You don't yeah. talk to, you know, I didn't tell anybody, you know, that, boy, I really want those, you know.
Anybody gets a chance to hear David Jeremiah this week? There's a kid that showed forgiveness on the stand that his brother was shot, and he forgave on the stand. He wanted to forgive the lady that shot his brother.
Wow.
It's just recently that she shot him. She was a police officer. I don't know if you remember reading on the news. Anyway, she asked if she could give the police officer a hug during the court
wow.
proceedings.
Wow, how
and it
beautiful
was, it was
is
so
that?
So powerful. Even the judge was crying.
Yeah,
and
wow.
I just thought it was... God,
see, yeah, boy. Oh!
Boy, he had a message to give.
Yeah, when the Holy Spirit walks in, I'm telling
yeah.
you,
he
will
awesome.
Intervene in the affairs of men,
yeah.
and I love that.
I love
you know,
it.
And when he comes, everybody knows he has come.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful.
And he wasn't
yeah.
that old. His kid. I mean, he might have been 18.
Yeah.
20. I mean, I'm old, so I mean, you know,
yeah.
been 30. I don't
yeah.
know.
And the children
yeah.
shall lead. You know,
yeah.
you said the children yeah. shall
yeah.
lead.
Yeah.
And
such
I'm
a
yes.
And
yeah.
Hug.
Yeah.
He kind of had to ask twice.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I give her a hug?
Yeah.
Aww.
And what a healing that was for that police officer, too. Because nobody feels good taking a life. Well, most people don't. Anybody else before we wrap up? Anybody? Everybody good? Okay. Well, folks, let's pray. Rita, why don't you close us in prayer today?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, for your mercy, for your loving kindness, just the change that your word makes in our lives, Lord. Thank you for Sister Karen and the message that you give her to bring to us, to teach us how to pray. We thank you that that's such a privilege, Lord, to be able to come before your throne, and we know that we can't do that except through the blood of Jesus, who gives us his righteousness. To think that you took away our sins, Lord, and you came and gave us your righteousness, Jesus, and that we can have a personal relationship with you, our Creator. Thank you that we can talk with you any time of the day, that we could bring our
yes,
needs
Lord
to you,
Jesus.
Just as she even just told us. That was powerful, Lord. You know, sometimes we ask you for what we want, but thank you that you give us what we need, Lord. We just thank you that you meet our every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We ask, Lord God, that you would help us. And yes, beginning even, or I say in me, turning that searchlight on, Lord, and helping me or helping us, Lord God, to be humble before you. That we know that it's your blood that purifies us, that cleanses us continually, that we would always keep our eyes fixed and focused on you and your word, learning your word, because when we pray your word, we know that things will happen,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
We know that it's your word that does not return to you void, but you accomplish what you sent it for to do. I believe whatever we need, you always bring your word to us, Holy Spirit, because you're our comforter, you're our teacher, you're our strength, our keeper, but you bring your word
yes,
to us,
Lord.
And
yes.
you just give us that word that we are
yes,
able
Lord
to,
Jesus.
Not like you said, to name it and claim it, but to profess it, Lord, to decree and to declare it, because we know that your word, you're the King of all kings,
yes,
Lord Jesus, and you give us your word to declare it. And your word is powerful, it's active, it's alive, Lord Jesus, and we thank you how you just even created everything by speaking your word, and you give your word to us that we're able to speak your word and to bring things to come to pass according to your perfect will. Thank you for your prayer, Father, that you teach us in your word that we do praise you, our Father who art in heaven. And we do, we hallow your precious holy name. And we pray your kingdom come in our lives first, Lord God, on earth as it is in heaven. And as it comes in our lives, Lord, then we know that it will go throughout the whole earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done in us on earth as it is in heaven. Yes, thank you for your word already that you have given to us this morning, which is our daily bread. And we go into your sanctuary to give, Lord, not to keep for ourselves, but to share, to give to others, Lord.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us in the land of the living,
Lord.
Thank you that you're always with us. You never leave us or forsake us. And for being our Father, you're a good Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord, you're a good Father.
And we thank you for how you provide for us, how you protect us, Lord God.
Lord.
Help us, Lord, to be the light that you have called us to be, to make a difference in this dark world, Lord. And again, going into your house, Lord, this morning to worship you. We go to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord Jesus. And we know that when we praise you, when we worship you, Lord Jesus, this brings your presence to us and actually brings us to you. We thank you for the privilege and for the honor of being called your child, Lord Jesus. Continue the good work that you've begun in each and every one of us,
Lord, thank you. And help us, Lord God, to continue to draw closer to you
because you draw closer to us, Lord Jesus. And because of that, where you are, no devil, no demon can stay in your presence. We have no fear of him, Father, because we fear you in a reverence and respectable way, Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
And we pray in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.